Isaiah 58, the prophet Isaiah has something to say. I shared with you a couple of Sunday nights ago. We had a wonderful time last Sunday night. Just phenomenal. Will Clear did an outstanding job in sharing his ministry on the campus of UC Davis with, my goodness, 3,700 students, 100 different nations represented, and the impact they're making there. Just outstanding. Man, that was so good. That was rich. You need to get a copy of that and listen to that. So well presented. And then 2 weeks ago, I shared Kingdom Generations. I didn't know it was going to have a part two, and I do. So here's where we're going to go in Isaiah 58, 12. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. That's an amazing statement right there, insight into how God works in genealogies over time and through families. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Because God wants back what was stolen. Amen? So, Father, bring forth harvest from the seed planted in your people tonight. I mean a great harvest, bigger and greater than we ever imagined. So intense and big it will be that we don't know where to store it all. We don't know what to do with it. It's so immense. I thank you for revelation truth that transforms in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Watch this clip.
So your life is being lived, even though you think you're living your life.
Exactly, and you don't see it because it's called subconscious, below conscious. And the Jesuits, for 400 years, they were boasting. People didn't understand. They say, give me a child until it's seven and I will show you the man. They've been saying that for 400 years because they knew 7 years was the program period, and 95% of your life after that will be whatever that program is.
95% of what you do after that seven-year period of development in the child's life, that's where you're going to go. Everything you've learned in those 7 years, 95% of that will continue. That's why it's so important to get the word of the Lord into your children as quickly as you can. And these that are studying the brain and how it works, my goodness. Now, thank God he can rewire us because some of us didn't have the opportunity to have that kind of intense upbringing that taught us the scripture from the time we were born through those first 7 years of life. And he can rewire that. But that takes a bigger job, takes a little more effort. But we're thankful that if you get them early, it's important that we invest in our children. And we invest in the young adults of our church as soon as we can because we want them heading in the right direction. So let's give thanks here tonight for a moment. We are not a quiet church. And God forbid we ever become one. When the devil attempts to shut you up, listen, don't you come in here dragging half asleep. We need to praise the Lord in power and in passion. We need some people who don't mind opening their mouths and thanking God. We don't run on 50, we run on 120. And we don't come here on empty, we come here spirit-filled. Amen? I said we come here spirit-filled. And I'm onto something with this. The Holy Spirit's been just digging around in my heart about this kind of issue. It's going to affect everyone. And listen, here, understand this truth. When you're on to something, the devil starts fighting. Every time you get on to something that God's trying to show you, the devil will fight it. With God's help, I want to break down this passage from Isaiah. There's been a generational disconnect. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. It's been a strategic attack planned by the adversary to negate an entire generation. Satan works against generations to make certain what God has planned does not cross over into the next generation. That's the way the adversary works. That's the plot and the plan and how he executes it. Because when a generation is renewed in faith, when a new generation receives its Pentecost, it means the devil will lose for the next 30 to 40 years. he will lose that generation. So when we have a generational breakthrough, it means we get to blunt and neutralize Satan's attack, and he suffers a setback. It's about time he suffered a few of those, and let the Western Church yield some blows upon him. If we teach our children well, it will carry into their generation. If they teach their children well, victory will be theirs in that next generation. If they teach their children's children, it transfers into the next generation. Renewal won't stop if we don't stop teaching our children well about generational breakthrough and generational success. This truth is very important that's been hidden and buried in God's word. Those from among you will build the old waste places. You're going to rebuild what the enemy's torn down. Those among us, princes, noble, great men, will have such authority and influence as you have never had to put the enemy to flight. We are in a season where this has begun everywhere in the world, and it needs to happen here in the United States. God is releasing in the body of Christ a latter-day outpouring that will enable his church to get done what he has assigned us. He's releasing authority and influence, and those open will move in authority and influence for the purpose of bringing people to know Jesus. So I don't care what the devil is trying to do. It's nothing compared to what God is doing with the present-day release of the Holy Spirit. Some want to spend the day talking about all the things that the devil is doing. We're going to spend the day talking about what our God is doing, because what God is doing is far greater and more impacting and for sure eternal. God wants us to have influence in our culture. And you're here tonight because you desire more. And God will fill every hungry vessel. He always does. Result, those among us who will have authority and influence in the culture. And the purpose, to build the old waste places. There is stuff that fell apart and now lies in waste. So first of all, God wants to raise us up, not to just lead us from where we are, but to go back and repair the torn down and laid to waste. Because we have to get the foundation right. I had an uncle who built a house in White River Junction, Vermont. They got a lot of snow in that part of the world. Like the way they used to find his car in the days when they still had antennas on them. You'd have to tie something on the top of the antenna to go find his car. Okay? There was no running water in that house. There's a beautiful creek behind the house, but there was no running water in the house. Yet in the kitchen sink, there were faucets. It's kind of interesting, huh? Because I guess when he bought the sink, the faucets came with it. So faith, I don't know what you call that. When I looked at that, right? You could turn the faucets and no water came out. It's kind of interesting. No water ran through the pipes. And in the Western church, we have built nicely, but not connected to the main source. And we wonder why little happens in the American Western church. It's because we are not connected. It looks nice, but little happens. And that's very frustrating to the kingdom. Why? We're not connected. Someone broke the water line somewhere. And there's plenty of water in the water line. God's got no shortage of water. And if it's not gushing when we turn on the faucet, it's not because there's no water. It's because we somehow are not hooked up. There are some waste areas, areas many are unacquainted with in the body of Christ. It takes someone with determination to say, you know, I've been doing this for years, and the water's not flowing, and let's discover where the problems are so the water will flow once again. Something is broken. Something is not working. Something is broken down. And if they're still coming to church and not delivered, something is wrong in the infrastructure. If they've been coming to church for 10 years and still don't know God's word, there's something wrong in the infrastructure. They've been in church all that time and still unfaithful and not plugged in. Something is dysfunctional in the church. If they still don't love their brother and sister and they hold on to a grudge for years, and I've watched that happen in people, there's something that needs correction. When you've been in church for years and still not growing and improving and maturing, there's something broken. So I ask the questions when no one else does. Why? God has to find someone who will ask the questions. Because if no one asks questions, people remain in the position that they're in and think it's correct, and that becomes familiar and normal. Well, Pastor, I prayed and nothing happened. Something is broken and laid waste. It means it's time to rebuild. Number two, we shall carry on and finish the good work which was begun generations before. Because that's the plan of God. I just read it to you in the opening text. We shall be helped over all kinds of obstructions and blockages that have retarded the progress and the flow of God's presence and spirit in the church. There are many churches today stunted in growth and in development because there is blockage. No progress because of blockages. And where there are blockages, there will be abnormal growth or not normal growth. The obstructions create blockage, so progress we should get, we don't achieve. Someone has to ask God, why don't people grow normally, spiritually, and maturing? Why does that not happen? Why aren't people developing their maturity in the Lord? Somebody has to ask that. You've been hanging on to John for 5 years, and he's still struggling in his walk. There's been little development, and you haven't done much better hanging around with John. We need to ask God, why do people know so little about God, although they attend a church service every single week? How does that happen? Well, I was reading this article. That's a very powerful one. And the author said, I was listening to an interview with Chelsea Clinton, who stated how serious a Christian she was while promoting the cause of abortion. And the author said, my brain froze when I heard her say that abortion helps the economy. And the author, this perfect statement, the attitude portrays the hypocrisy that has swept our nation. So you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity, Jesus said to spiritual people of his day. When any nation can no longer judge between good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness, its people are in serious trouble. The word describes such as becoming futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. And it all begins, he says, when men suppress the truth through unrighteousness. My goodness. Pretty powerful statement, huh? But I like the rest of this, and I want to quote it to you because it's well worth listening to. He said, they profess that they know God, but in their deeds they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and worthless for every good work. He calls it blatant hypocrisy, Titus does in 1:16. And here's how it translates. When a nation accepts pornography, but supposedly hates sexual abuse, hypocrisy has set in. When a nation doesn't believe in gender, but fights for women's rights, hypocrisy has set in. When a nation believes no child should be left behind, but aborts tens of millions of babies, hypocrisy has set in. We've lost our moral compass. Confusion marks our degenerated society. Lawless mobs are on the increase. And you've seen that and heard about that and watched what was going on back in Pittsburgh this last Saturday. And you see, well, how can this happen in a nation that calls itself a Christian nation? How does this happen that people come to church faithfully and regularly, but don't know how to live and they continue to live like the culture lives and committing the same evils that the culture commits and say, I'm a Christian. The work that was begun long before needs to be finished. This didn't begin with us. It didn't start when we decided we were going to be born again. This didn't begin when we decided to start attending church. This began thousands and thousands of years ago. When the devil wanted to stop you, he didn't start when you were born. He started long before you were born. That's why we have to learn to think generationally. If Satan began his plot to interfere with God's kingdom long ago, then we must get with God and begin to ask questions. We've got to troubleshoot. I don't sit still when things are not tracking well. We have to have people around us tracking weakness. Why is there weakness in this area of the body of Christ? Why is there so many dilemmas with this group in the body of Christ? Why are these people not united and not plugged in? Why do they want to stay apart? Where are the wandering sheep that don't show up for weeks at a time? Why are people held up and stunted in growth? Why aren't they developing and functioning and serving like your word intended us all to do? There has to be some obstruction, blockage somewhere that's got the flow obstructed, preventing spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. By New Testament standards, there ought to be people born again daily because of the influence of the people of Calvary Christian Center. Every single day, there ought to be somebody out here in our culture because of some of us having impact, being born again. And consequently, Sundays should explode with joy over the victories that have been won all week long. Tonight ought to be wall-to-wall people packed with those who are hungry, and miracles would be happening everywhere in the building. That's what the New Testament church looks like. And when you have spiritual influence, you can walk in Walmart and say to your acquaintance, I'm headed over to Calvary Christian Center. Want to go with me? And people should see and hear your excitement and want to get right in on the middle of it. Right? I think it was Lucas who was having a conversation in the Starbucks, right? Last week, on your way to the pumpkin farm, and somebody overheard your conversation and all of a sudden got excited about going out there, and next thing you know, influence, wanted to come back to church with you Sunday night, right? And that ought to be normal. We ought to be celebrating that all over the place. It's not that hard when you have influence. And influence comes when we walk full of the Holy Spirit under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But there are obstructions and blockages, and they cause retardation and of our progress. And the blockages prevent us from fulfilling our God-given destiny as a church, which is putting His kingdom first. It includes tithing. And if all are committed givers of time and talent and treasure, it's New Testament all over again. It's exactly the same product that we'll have as they had when we start doing what they did and putting the kingdom first. We shouldn't take a step forward, then encounter yet another setback. We should not have financial struggle when the body of Christ is, everybody is participating and bringing their tithe to the Lord. We shouldn't have any financial struggle. It should all be taken care of. There should be people who say, well, let me help with it. We should not have retarded finances when we tithe. That struggle ends when everybody decides I'm a part of the kingdom. I have an obligation to shoulder my responsibility like the person next to me has to shoulder her responsibility. There are principles that break down generationally when we don't instill our heritage into the next generation. But we just go on as usual without asking why. And I ask God, why? And guess what? He will speak and He will tell you why. In the promise of Isaiah 58, and restore the foundations of past generations. Restore them. That which has been in disrepair, the uncompleted assignments, the dreams set aside because of lack of commitment. Because the foundation was incomplete, It caused generations to be in arrears. You might be the fourth or fifth generation in arrears. And that prevents the generation from beginning where they should have, advanced rather than set back. But if previous generations have failed to run the race up to expectation, think of the setback for the incoming generation. And it's why we must connect the generations in the church, because if we fail, we will launch yet another generation in arrears. Not just in our lifetime, but going forward, it impedes their spiritual progress. What if four generations back, your family was wealthy? They didn't begin in arrears. So when you graduated college, you didn't have to begin in Genesis and start all over again. You were launched forward by the progress of previous generations who pushed you into your generation with advancement because they passed on what they learned and you picked up on it. It's an interesting thought, and it goes on to say it in this, the rest of this production I gave you early on, that the person who's grown up in a home where they learned how to create wealth, and it works the opposite in a home where they don't know anything about finances. In those first 7 years, those children pick up on that, and they continue that in either case. And they go on to show in proof that even though a person who's been raised in a home where they learned how to create wealth because of the business people that ran their families and businesses, even if the child didn't come into the world with the highest of IQs, may not look like the most successful person in the making, because of what they picked up in those first 7 years, they go on to continue in success. The same thing that happens in the other side. When people are grown up in a home and we've always been poor, we always will be poor, and this is what the first 7 years of their life is like, guess what happens to them? Even when they have great intellect, it's a struggle for them to break out of that stuff that's been imposed on them by generations ahead of them. So listen, you want to start building, rebuilding the bridges. We were launched forward by the progress of previous generations. We are here because of others we get to stand on the shoulders of. And the opposite of that, the generations before you had a breakdown on the bridge somewhere. Now, I've driven up on a bridge broken down, and they don't allow you to try to cross over because you can't. And that's what generations are like. It's not that we don't want to get to the other side, but the bridge is out. It's not that people don't want to improve or get better. The bridge is out. So how do we cross over and get to the place that God's destined for us? We want to. We desire to. We are willing to. But if the bridge is out, we can't make the connection. And I can speak of the plans that God has for Calvary Christian Center. Let me show you how it works. And you can get all excited, and you can clap, and you can speak in tongues, and you're all ready to receive, but then you walk out of this place to a spot where the bridge is out. And you go home and think, so how does this work? There's no bridge to get me from here to there. What we have to do, we have to go back. We have to track our heritage, find out where did the bridge break down. We get so excited about going forward, and then we don't get there. Excited about the future, but not willing to discover what's kept us from accelerating. Because when we have repaired the breach, we then get to step on the gas and accelerate. We grow by leaps and bounds, meaning stuff will begin clicking for you, clicking for your children. But we have to repair the broken bridges and repair the breach. What keeps us from understanding? What keeps us from gaining the knowledge we need to acquire to win? What prevents us from a good season? Imagine what it's like to be losing when you have the best team on the field. Experienced that in high school. In the college and high school tournaments. An undefeated season. the best team on the court get defeated. When the bridges are out, when you can't make the connection, you can have the best of every advantage and still not succeed because we haven't made the connection. And that's why we have made adjustments to get Calvary Christian Center connected as per New Testament principles. You might not be the kind of person to run and to leap and to jump, but as long as there's a gap in the bridge, you're going to have to run and you're going to have to accelerate and you're going to have to jump. But if we are connected, trusting the support of one another, because we're plugged into one another, we can bridge the gap. Even if your father walked out of your life, then you had to find answers for yourself. When you come to the place in life for promise, you have to leap. In Calvary, we need to be the people who help one another to make the leap so we can get over that break in the bridge. Somebody's got to leap, right? There's a gap in between. We have to get to our destiny, and how do we get there? Back up to the previous generation, get a running start, give it everything you've got. Others are standing on the other side saying, come on, you can do it. And fear is running up and down your spine saying, you're not going to make it. But mount up with wings as eagles and soar. You have to run and jump, because if you don't, those coming behind you aren't going to make it there either. It will take Holy Spirit tenacity. And if you don't have a daddy, you need the Holy Spirit working in you to get you over that gap, to be plugged in with others who will fill that role. And in the meantime, the rest of us work hard to repair the breach so those who follow us don't miss a step. This takes all-out effort, all out focus on his kingdom, because the gap is a wide one. It may be more than one generation. We might not be the first generation in lineage who grew up without a father. There may be generations in arrears in your family lineage without a father in the home. Then people become accustomed to being in arrears instead of surging ahead. And when people quote the word, we're the head and not the tail, some cannot relate to what that means. What does it look like to be the head and not the tail? Because I've been the tail for a long time, and the devil's angry with me because I'm about to inspire somebody to take off in a sprint and leap and believe God for victory that belongs to you and your generation. Amen. Number three, you've been stuck, but now you got to jump. The devil was so angry at your purpose, he took the bridge out. He said, I'll just damage the bridge. So angry at your coming on the scene, he took the bridge out so you wouldn't be able to get across. He thought you'd never leap, that you'd never think any differently than you've been thinking over the past generation. But a prophetic voice has risen into your life saying, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength and the ability to achieve. You have God's authority to operate in. In the meantime, at Calvary Christian Center, we're repairing the breach. We are reconnecting as a New Testament church was connected, so there is no generational divide. And with our rebuilding and your faith that we'll get there, grab that person next to you and leap. Together, we step into our future promises. Number four. You shall have the appreciation of future generations. Imagine if we have men and women of faith who will take the leap. Just imagine with me. Once you get to the other side, you stop and assist in the repairing of the breach so no one else ever faces what you had to face. You make the road a little easier for the next ones coming after you. You pave the way so that their road is smoother than yours. And here's how Isaiah put it. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls. I've taken a leap, and I have begun to repair the breach so all who follow can cross over successfully. And you might be frightened because it doesn't look as solid as you want it to look, but the repairs are built on Christ, the solid rock. Just run fast enough and leap over. No more church games. Let's go for it. Tell your neighbor, let's go for it. Yeah. And the more we walk across the bridge into our future as a body, it's not about me. I won't have to worry about bills if people, enough of people, bring in their tithes and they just do what God asks. Nor will I have to worry about having a special drive to raise funds. When you get to the other side of the bridge, the change that happens in the heart is so transformational. These are the kinds of New Testament miracles that start to happen. Pastor, what did the new audio equipment cost? How can I help with that? I'll cover part of that or all of that. What will the new lighting cost when we, what's that going to cost? Hey, I'm going to help with that. What will the new big screens cost? Okay. And privately, don't worry about it. Got it covered. Here's a check. I just closed a big deal. Here's a check to take care of that. Let's get our new campus built. Don't worry about it. We're connected. We've got business associates. We're going to get together and pool some gifts. We're going to look at some resources. God's going to help us make it happen. What else do we need to handle so that the kingdom of God gets advanced? That's New Testament perspective. That's New Testament miracle. That's God working in the hearts of people. You read about it all through the book of Acts. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. Gap, bridge out, need for healing, restoration. We're not seeing the miracles that we should see. We have them, but we should see far more miracles than we're seeing. There's a gap made by the enemy in the wall of besieged cities. We hear of crime rates increasing, and we watch horrific things take. Anytime crime rates continue like they've been, we're not doing our job. We're failing in our mission to be salt and light. We're not fulfilling the purpose for which God put us here. There should be decrease in what the adversary is doing. The church should have influence in its region, and principalities and powers become subject to us. They get torn down by the power of God's word, and we don't have to carry a badge. We just need to have something going on in our connect groups so that any thought of wickedness gets neutralized. Devil, don't you take another step. Whatever you were thinking of after you got addicted to those video games and violence, not going to happen here, not on our watch. The walls are down. And when there's a continual attack in a community and against Christians, it means the walls are down. When there are no miracles or very few, when there are few deliverances, the wall has been breached and the enemy has slipped in. Because there's been a breach. We have generations who don't know they can cross over into a place of power and rebuild the walls and stop the enemy in his tracks. We used to believe when we prayed, we would get results. We used to believe that when we effectually prayed to the Lord, there would be answers to prayer. Today, many people pray because it's just what they do. But the prayers of the righteous avail much. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls. I'm not laboring for me. When I can close the gaps and teach the generations to close the gaps and who they are, long after I'm gone, the devil will not be able to get in. He will not have a foothold. And here's how we obtain influence and authority. We stop thinking about me. God is not like this crazy culture that has invaded every aspect of our society. God won't give us power to be selfish with it. His power comes to those who are going to work on behalf of generations who come after them. That's the people he empowers. There will be ones with the greatest levels of influence, the greatest levels of power, the greatest levels of significance, those people who unselfishly say it's about the Lord and his work. They're working for those who come after them. And I stand here tonight and I repent and I regret for those who attempt to build their own kingdom instead of building the kingdom of God. I repent on behalf of those who do ministry based on themselves instead of based on Jesus Christ. The enemy gets in through these gaps and the walls are breached, and we don't cry, listen to me, we don't cry out to God to fix it. No, we're the ones with the authority to fix the breaches. We allowed the gaps. We allowed the breaches. We lost the connection. God gave his church the authority to repair the breaches. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now you go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We blame God. We blame spiritual leadership. But the church has the keys. And if we've allowed stuff in, we can put stuff out. Boy, somebody ought to shout in this room tonight, right? It's time to give sickness and disease an eviction notice. It's time to give poverty an eviction notice. I want to repair the breach. And if the enemy attempts to slip in through the cracks, that's why it says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him any spot. And those who rise up will see New Testament results. As we step into our destiny, we will fulfill our purpose. Like Billy Graham, who in his day closed the racial gaps. Racism was still prevalent and strong, but under his big tent, he brought people of all colors and backgrounds together to worship Jesus. There was no racism allowed in the Billy Graham ministry because it wasn't for him he was building. He was building for the kingdom of Jesus. There was no segregation in his meetings. There was no second-class citizens in his tent. And when we close gaps, God celebrates us. You won't have to worry about followers on social media. When you close gaps, people will pay attention. Repair the breaches. Go about doing good. Make a difference in the lives of people. Do what Jesus did. And number five, you will restore streets. And they'll be safe and quiet, at peace. There was a time homes had to be built behind walls for safety. When the breaches are repaired, safety is restored. The restorer of streets to dwell in. Peace is restored. Hearts have been changed. Trust reestablished. A value system that runs right across the entire culture. These are the values we agreed to live by. We can self-govern because we all have a similar set of values we stand on. Remember when you had a screen door with a latch? Anybody remember that? You remember that? We had one on Malby Place. The back door was a screen door and it had this little latch. Then they have to latch it. Restore the streets with God's authority. The hedge is restored. And we need the hedge restored because today you can't go to a public bathroom without keeping your purse up under your arm. Because you don't know what the next person's going to go do. Gaps, breaches everywhere you turn. But no more when the church is the church once again. When fearlessly we stand to proclaim the truths of God's truth and God's word. You've got passwords all over the place today. People steal your identity, empty your accounts because there are gaps in the defense system. Church, rise up to become the restorer of places to dwell in. Rise up and close the gaps. The crime rate is rough because there's so many gaps. Instead of closing the gaps as crime rose, here's what a lot of people did. They just moved away unconcerned about those who could not afford to move away. And just left the others to get swallowed up by the crime and the evil in those communities. No, stand your ground. Repair the breach. Repair the streets. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's the truth. Calvary, we're going in. We're going to start repairing the breaches. We want everybody to be able to step forward, to walk over the bridge, and stand in their generational promise that God's made to them. Church, we are to be the problem solvers in our culture. We have the opportunity to solve problems in the lives of people because this book is the owner's manual for how we do life and live. And we know how this book operates, and we can help people solve problems because we own the owner's manual. God elevates problem solvers, not those who run away from problems. And our goal is not to run away from the culture. Our goal is to engage and let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. When it's time for elevation, God will give you a problem to solve. It's how God works. Read his word. When it's time for elevation, God will give you a problem to solve. When it's time for elevation, God will give you a problem to solve. Anybody awake on this side? Okay? When it's time for elevation, God will not give you a title and a plaque to hang on your wall. He will give you a problem to solve. And he will assist us through connections to solve the problems. But there's got to be connection flowing in the body of Christ. We can't sit here and look good. We have to do something. Become a greeter. All of us plugged in. Work the parking lot. Make people feel like they just won. Let's make a deal. Usher. Work with children. When you're ready to become a difference maker, get someone, get somewhere, and begin to serve and to assist and to help. Make a difference. Fill in the gaps. That's how it's done in the kingdom of God. Just read the book of Acts. That's how it's done. There was need. People, there's a need. These people need food. These people need a way to get work. These people need, well, we've got the means. Let's get all these over here. They've got 2 and 3 houses. They're going to go and sell some of them. They're going to bring the cash in so we can take care of the business of people and make sure people's needs are met because that's the business we're in. So Calvary Christian Center, don't stop. Leap. We're on the threshold of the greatest blessings of our lives. And God wants his church to be the bride of Christ, the church. Don't miss God. This is the greatest moment of your life. Don't hit the brake. Oh my, I can't go any further. Don't turn back. Hit the gas pedal and accelerate. And I don't know what's going to happen as I leap, but leap with me and know this. We're not going back to where we were. We're determined with zeal and wisdom to keep on going. We don't know how we're going to land, but we do know when we land, we're going to tell people, this is what it's like to fly. Amen. This is what it's like to soar. This is what it's like to elevate. There were 12 people on the boat on the Sea of Galilee in a storm. And one said, when they saw the image of Jesus walking on the waves, if that's you, ask me to join you on the water. And Jesus said, come. He did. And out of 12, one out of 12 knew what it was like to walk on water. What do you got to lose? I might start to sink. Well, Peter did, but what did Jesus, immediately it says, what did Jesus do? Immediately, because he grabbed him. Come on, Peter, come with me. Let's get back in the boat. Okay? Come on. Yeah. Leap. Life as it is, we've got to do something differently than we've been doing. We can't stay stuck. And if we don't, life will just continue to repeat itself one generation to the next in the comfort zone that we've enjoyed. 40 years is a generation. It took that long for that generation to die off before the next generation entered into the promised land. People can stagnate for 40 years. No. Yeah, they did. Know about the promised land, hear the promised land preached, applaud the preacher preaching about the promised land, but never occupy the promised land. I need some young at heart people who will leap in faith to plug in and say, it's new and it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to have my promised land. I'm not going to be one of those who dies out here in the desert. I'm tired of where I've been, and I'm tired of where I haven't been, and I want where I haven't been, and I'm going to go through. My choice now is to leap. Thank you, Lord. How many leapers do we have in here tonight that are ready to take a jump and say, let's do it. Let's become difference makers. Let's plug into one another. Let's so solidify our love for God and for one another that there's no possible way the devil can find a place to breach us. That we crowd him out. We repair the gaps and we repair the breach. And we lay down new road for the generation coming after us to track on without having to halt and stop and be impeded. How many are ready to leap? Stand to your feet, run up here, and shout thanks to the Lord for the privilege of being one with an opportunity to make a difference. Who's ready to make a difference? Come on. Who's ready to make a difference? Don't wait for someone else to do what God called you to do. Whatever God's put on your heart, come on, let's get it done. We've got miles ahead of us, things to do. This is not a time to sit down and say, well, you know, we can rest now. That's not the time to do that. It's time to leap. It's time to run. It's time to get there. Who's ready to leap? Who's ready to take a run? Who's ready to say, I want to be a repairer of the gap? I want to be a bridge builder. I don't want to stand on the other side of the broken down bridge and wait here until I die. I don't know about you. I want to enter my promised land. Do you want to enter your promised land? Do you want all the promises God's made to you to be fulfilled? Then let's leap. Let's take a run at it. Say, Lord, I'd rather take a leap of faith and trust you on your promises than doubt you and question you. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why don't we try that right now for a few minutes? Diligently seek him. He anointed you to set the stage for the next things he wants done in this culture. And don't look around to see who else is doing it. You be the first one to jump in and leap. Don't wait for somebody to have to support you. Just jump and leap. This is not playing it safe. This is not for people who are scared and fearful. Don't be afraid. Where are my warriors tonight? Where are my warriors in this room? If you are a warrior, then tonight let God hear you as you diligently seek him. Come on, everybody. Diligently seek him.